take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Hello, thank you for listening to Nurses Out Loud. I'm your host, Nurse Jody O'Malley. So what some of you may not know about me is that you're probably listening to me only because I exposed the corruption that happened at my federal hospital, and I became what is known as the HHS vaccine whistleblower nurse. And I used an organization called Project Veritas to do that. For me, they were the only organization that I felt like I could trust, especially working for the federal government and all of our corporate media and social media, and everybody seems to be owned by them. I had just found out about James O'Keefe and Project Veritas a few months before I reached out to them and asked them if they would expose the undercover footage that I took. What happened a couple weeks ago kind of shook a lot of us whistleblowers, who I call a family now. It's a whistleblower family, a very, you know, very unique group of individuals. And a couple weeks ago, there was an internal document that was leaked that was showing some employees that were not happy with certain things that were happening in the organization, as well as possible misuse of funds. Regardless, I'll tell you my take on it a little bit later, but I wanted to bring on a few of the whistleblowers, and I'm going to start off with Ivory Hecker. She was a journalist with Fox News, and she exposed her story with Project Veritas as well. Ivory, do you want to tell people a little bit about what you've done and also, too, your thoughts on what's going on with Project Veritas and how you feel about this situation?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, so I blew the whistle on Fox back in 2021. And, you know, that is after they had told me they would fire me if I reported truthful facts that didn't fit the mainstream narrative. So, you know, I started recording them, collected my evidence, and then happened to cross paths with Project Veritas. And they wanted to send that story viral, and they did. And because of that, I received so much support from people around the world. I'm really grateful to Project Veritas for not only rallying so much support around me, but helping to inform the public that the corporate news doesn't have your best interest. They're not honest. They're hiding a lot of information from you. Mm-hmm. And so I was really, you know, Project Veritas and James O'Keefe meant so much to me after that. So to see them kind of have this huge fallout this month was really just heartbreaking to me, because I want the best for them, not only because they had my back back in 2021, but also because they're filling a void in journalism right now that's so important. And if they're self-destructing, that's not good for truth seekers everywhere.
Well, that's right. And also too, your story came out a little bit before mine. Mine was in September. When was yours? September 21.
Mine was in June.
Right. And I remember seeing your story and April's story. And, you know, and it also gave me courage too, to be like, I need to speak up. I have a story I need to tell. So you're right. To see it self-destruct is not a good thing, because, you know, courage is contagious. So if you're not seeing courage, yeah, we're not really doing much.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I think that there are good people on all sides of this situation. Nobody's perfect. And I hope that either they get back together and continue the great work, or they part ways and continue great work on all sides.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that this was an ego issue, honestly, based on my personal experience. I think this was a clash of big egos, which is even sadder.
Yes.
You know, that something like that is going to get in the way of great work, shedding light on the issues. I know a lot of people are wondering if some members of the board are, you know, compromised by Pfizer because of the timing after that big Pfizer story.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any evidence to that. I don't know if you have.
No, I don't think that that's it at all. I mean, of course, the timing is always very suspicious, you know, but, you know, I look at it as though it's an organization that started that in 2021, when a lot of our stories came out, it really propelled Project Veritas, you know, double the audience, probably triple the employees. So here was a small knit organization that grew very quickly.
Definitely. And I think that was kind of overwhelming for James, who likes to be a hands-on guy, trying to juggle everything when you're growing so fast and there's so much coming at you, so many important issues to tackle. And so it's important to, you know, pace that growth. Look, I haven't been in his shoes. It's hard to say, but all I know is that, you know, it was, I've heard from his employees about, you know, some of them, it's difficult based on his abrasive personality. Not only that, but I dealt with his abrasive personality myself, which is part of why I distanced myself from him, mainly because he wanted me to stay quiet about the fact that Fox and Turning Point had me banned from a Turning Point convention. According to Project Veritas, I was banned from the event 2 days before I was supposed to speak on stage. And James yelling at me to stay quiet about it caused me to say, I'll be over here. Mm-hmm. But that's why I, you know, distanced myself. And here's my thing. His board should do what I do. If they don't like him, walk away. He's the founder of the organization. They aren't. If you don't like his leadership style, you walk away. If you don't like what he's doing with the money that he raised, he's the face of this. He's the one holding this all together. I really think it's because of him that they're bringing in the donations they're bringing.
Absolutely.
So for the board to kick him out of what he founded is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you disagree with him, then just walk away. Overall, James is a good guy doing a lot of good work, and I want to support him from a distance. That's how I feel.
Okay. Well, I can appreciate that. Absolutely. I mean, thank you for being honest and truthful. You know, my experience with him is a little different because I have spent a little bit more time and stuff. But I think with, you know, just growing as a person, much less a businessman, you know, it takes time. And we do, if there are, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. So not saying, I don't know any of the facts of it, but I do know that people are unhappy and he's not a warm and fuzzy kind of guy. You know, I've had warm and fuzzy kind of moments, but they're very few and far between, you know. So I will say, you know, I mean, it's a learning experience. We all grow. And when we grow, we mature. So, yeah, I appreciate your opinion. Anything else you want to add? How can people find you, Ivory?
Well, they can go to youtube.com/Ivory Hecker. That's where I am doing my podcasting, or just search Ivory Hecker on YouTube. And I'm pretty much everywhere else too. I mean, if you're an audio podcast person, search my name on your podcast app too.
Yep. Ivory Hecker. Yes. And I was just on your show. So thank you. I think you do a wonderful job. And I'm glad that you are giving a voice to people that don't have a voice in this, you know, in this world. And you're doing great work. So thank you for that.
Thanks so much. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for having me on.
What's up, Carrie?
Hey, Jody, how goes it, my dear?
I'm good. So Carrie Porch is our CNN whistleblower insider.
Yes,
why don't you introduce yourself to the audience, Carrie?
Yeah, fantastic. Like Ivory and the rest of the people have said, thank you so much for having me on. I am so blessed to just be able to call you a friend and a fellow fraternity member in this whole PV whistleblower crew. It's fantastic. So, So my name is Carrie Porch. I am one of the OGs. I'm not the OG. I'm one of the OGs. I was the fourth or fifth line in Project Veritas's Be Brave campaign. I worked at CNN in Washington, D.C. I started my job there in the summer of 2017. And then within just a handful of months, I just saw a lot of blatant bias in one direction on the political spectrum. And I just got to a point where I couldn't really sleep at night or stick my head in the sand any longer. And that's when I actually sought out James O'Keefe working at CPAC and just had a conversation with the man. And about 6 to 8 months later of recording, we went to air in late 2019. And my then pregnant fiance at the time moved down to the Tampa, Florida area, where we still reside to this day. And with our little one, Emma. So life is grand. And there is life after whistleblowing because of Project Veritas, even though obviously the recent events maybe throws the question into a little bit of flux right now. And that's what not only the outside world, but the inside world of PV is, we're all trying to figure it out right now.
Right. Absolutely. It's, it's one story, and I don't think, we're whistleblowers. So we're brave, right? Where if we see corruption, we're going to speak our mind. But I mean, it's definitely important to get all the facts, which I don't know how much of them. I'll tell you, James did that video on YouTube. That was right to his employees, but of course got leaked, right? Like, not a big deal. Yeah. But
no big deal. Nothing to see here, right?
Right. But he does make mention of the 6 hour board meeting.
Oh my goodness. I can't even imagine. Like and again, here's the thing. I know April, not April, sometimes Ivory. Get you and April mixed up, and Ivory is of the three blonde bombshells of the PV crew. So, Jody, you and I were speaking a little bit, off camera, and it's just a very sad situation of what's going on, because all of us love James, we love the company, and we just want equivalent to like mom and dad are fighting. We just want mom and dad to get along and get back together for the betterment of the family, the country, because James and PV, we literally were the tip of the spear and still are the tip of the spear. And we would go into places and recruit people like yourself, me, Ivory, April, Richard Hopkins, you know, all these different giants. Like, PV and James gave us a place to land and will not only tell our story, but land afterwards. You know, you took down Homeland, Health and Human Services. You know, I blew the whistle on CNN, like two very powerful and connected organizations. Like, I don't know about you, but I was terrified for my safety and the safety of my unborn child at that time. But James assuaged all my fears, and we did everything he said would happen came to pass. Like, hey, if you do this, the bigger and the faster it goes, the less and less likely that CNN will come after you. And like three, four years later, it's still that case. Like, I haven't heard a word from any lawyer. Knock on wood, it continues. But like, he's a man of integrity, a man of honor. I've seen some of the stuff they're talking about that he can definitely be difficult to be around and deal with at times. I mean, I got caught up in that a couple times when I was a full timer there. So, but I've also, like you, I've seen the other end of the spectrum where he's an amazingly sensitive, empathetic, and driven man and compassionate. So he's a very complicated man doing a very, very complicated job that Lord knows I don't want. I've seen his schedule when I was full time there, and like, there is zero white space. That man is the hardest working human I have ever been around. And it just, it blows my mind how productive he can be, not only with his staff, but like how him personally, how productive he can be and shoving as much into a 20, literally a 30 hour day that right. I can only dream of. And it's just sad because I gave up my career, my job, my home. I was living in DC. I loved it. Like, I gave all this up based on what you and I both agree was like, we're doing it for the betterment of not only us, but the country. And then to have this kind of civil war going inside, I believe Ivory was talking about like over ego or something simple like that. And, you know, that very well may be the case once the facts like lay out. And that's the most tragic part, is that some people are trying to control it this way or that way. And whoever it is, like, just let it be. Like, don't, it's a great thing going. Don't mess it up. And I'm just hoping we can all find a way forward in this. And that's my hope for not only the country, but the company.
Yeah. So I heard, you know, I never got into the board or anything. I don't know who they are necessarily, but someone told me that they're very close people to him, that he's known right. many of them for a long time. And when I had the opportunity to speak to James a couple days ago, you know, I had said to him, I said, listen, every single person that has been close to me, like I would say is my best friend, uh-huh. has done me wrong. And it was all because of jealousy that I didn't even know that they had. I didn't even know it until it was exposed. And I was like, my gosh, I have been the most upfront with you. You see me at my absolute worst. You know who I am. And you would do this to me after all the crap that people have done to me, you know, like the horrible relationships and, you know, that I picked and stuff. But every single one of them has done me wrong. And, you know, I just talked to James about that. I was like, it's a really horrible feeling to feel like you were betrayed by your closest people. But usually it's the closest people that hurt you the most.
It's and that's such a true axiom, Jody. And obviously, I hate that you've been betrayed. I mean, I've been betrayed. Everybody has had that story that you're talking about. And it hurts the most is like the people closest to you, because they're the knife doesn't have as far to go when they're closer to you, you know, the closer they are to you. And I can't imagine the feeling of possible betrayal that James is feeling. I mean, we've made countless enemies outside the wire, outside the gates of PV. And something I tweeted a couple weeks ago when all this started to dust up was that, you know, James said to me on multiple times in many different contexts, like whether it's just one-on-one or with the groups and the team, that, you know, the only way that Project Veritas can be destroyed is from within these walls, these hallowed walls. And it seems to be that is playing true in real time. And we're watching a dragon be slayed from within, you know, and that's just heartbreaking, because like, what if there was no PV when I was going through it? Like, mm-hmm. I would have just had to bury my head in the sand and still be there at CNN, you know, just miserable and not really knowing what I do. Or heaven forbid, I would actually go the quote unquote official whistleblower route and get fired. Like, if I brought it up the food chain and then I'd eventually get fired anyways. At least this way I got fired while doing the right thing and exposing the corruption inside of it. And I mean, I even mentioned it in the new book where it's like, you know, the intelligence agencies are weaving in and out of CNN and everything like that. So, you know, I know your book just came out as well. So I love it. People pick up all the whistleblower books, you know, and it's just, but where would we, you and I and others, where Zach Voorhees and Ryan Hartwig, where would we have gone or what would we haven't even done if there was no James or Project Veritas? Like this PV is like an American institution that will go down in history 100 years from now, as there was one shop that was really fighting against the utter just corruption and disgusting internal that the country government, big media and schools and everything were intertwined. Like there was only one place that people could go to really expose it, because the FBI wasn't doing it, all these other three-letter agencies that you're supposed to be the watchdogs, they're not doing it. They're part of it. They're participants in it. And so history's going to judge Project Veritas in general as a beacon of hope and light. It's just we have to get through these growing pains right now and figure out what the next iteration or plural iterations are for the this and these types of groups. I mean, I believe Ivory was saying, who knows, it may be another James might start his thing and PV may remain. Like, we're all capitalists. We're all rabid capitalists. Like, competition is a good thing. So
yeah.
I'd say the more the merrier. James has a lot of loyalists and stuff, and people might stay behind. I'm not trying to sway one way or the other, but who knows? I mean, like, we've always talked about, like, we need more of what we're doing. Like, we're one shop doing a great deal and a great deal, like doing the Lord's work, so to speak. And there have been so many people, and this is from some of my time there when I was manning the tip lines. Like, I got several requests, and, you know, some were just half-baked ideas, and some were actually, like, really kind of decent. Like, hey, what if we could set up, for lack of a better word, franchises in different countries based on their laws and do the same thing there? Like, I remember getting emails from, like, Germany and the UK and stuff. Like, hey, we're corrupt AF or whatever the kids call it these days. And we want to go record based on our country's laws. And, you know, we want a PV or equivalent here, and I could lead the charge, you know, pick me. So, I mean, I know I talk, I apologize, but like, there's so many ways that this can go. Most of them actually positive if we actually take those steps forward. And that is my hope, because I love James O'Keefe. You love James. Everybody does. Is he, I always like to say, is he difficult at times? Absolutely. I got wrapped up in it. I saw, you know, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but, you know, Ivor referenced one of her interactions and I actually witnessed that. It was kind of rough. And, you know, that's her story to tell. Like, I've seen some of the difficulties of being around the man in the company, but I've also seen and been party to the absolute greatness that can come with it and come from the work. So, I just always want that to be heard, that, like, I always say, it was James difficult at times, absolutely, but so was Steve Jobs, so was Elon Musk. There's so many similar, you know, employee letters are similar out there to the PV one regarding those two I just mentioned. I mean, Steve was kicked out of his own company before he came back and took it over and took it to the stratosphere. Elon Musk, there's always reports of him being kind of a unhinged taskmaster and cracking the whip, so to speak. I'm not saying James cracks whips for all those fact checkers out there, but like, yeah, when I saw that employee list of grievances, like, I actually recognized a handful of the bullet points on there. I'm like, oh, I get that, you know, but in the same breath, I was treated worse and yelled at far worse when I was still active duty Navy, and we still got the job done for the greater good and the greater mission. I'm not trying to trivialize anyone's truly, like, if they had some really kind of deep-seated, like, oh my God, this kind of needs to be addressed. Not at all. But I'm saying, like, visionaries are always difficult to work for and be around, like, when you're that close to the sun. They're always difficult because they have vision, and not many people, only a handful, may even be close to the level that they're on, the way they operate on, and it's frustrating for those types of people.
Well, I think when we have those kinds of leaders where, you know, like James, we give him a lot of grace because we know how much strain he's under. You know what I'm saying? You know, to run the organization, to keep up at that speed and that pace. You don't expect him to be like warm and fuzzy. You know, it's kind of like my dad, you know, in a way, who just this, you know, hard man who worked. And I knew he was like always, you know, stressed out. He was very short tempered. And when I got those moments of, you know, sensitivity with him, it's like, oh, it just like brought me even closer. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, I look at it like we're a family. And the very first thing that we do when one of our loved ones are in trouble is to pick their side, you know, and to recognize that they do have faults, but you know, you pick your family's side until you find out the whole story. So, you know, I thank you guys for sharing your thoughts here with me today. We're going to head to break, but check out all of the other amazing shows that we have on this network, guys. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio. You can download the app for 24/7 news. We have doctors, lawyers, police officers, constitutionalists, you know, you name it. You can find uncensored information on this network. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio app. Download it and turn us on anytime. We'll be right back after the break.
It's time and this is war.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited-time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
We are fighting the ultimate fight between good and evil. AmericaOutLoud.com replaces groupthink with innovative think. Well, it was Walt Whitman, the poet, who said, "Keep your face always toward the sunshine, and shadows will fall behind you." America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining me on Nurses Out Loud. I'm your host, Nurse Jody O'Malley. And with me on the second half is Melissa McAtee, who is the Pfizer whistleblower with Project Veritas. Her story came out right after mine did in October of 2021. And, you know, let's just welcome her in. And Melissa, thank you for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me on, Jody.
Yes, you're welcome. You know, why don't you tell our audience who you are, what you did at Pfizer, and why you decided to blow the whistle?
Yeah, so I was a manufacturing quality auditor at Pfizer for about 4.5 years. Before that, I was a pharmaceutical assistant for about 5 years. So I got to see quite a bit of the processes of the plant. Quality has total run of the entire thing, pretty much. I got into that position just based off my, I knew my job really well. I personally don't remember any mistakes I made, but I'll say almost never made any mistakes. I was always catching things, other people's mistakes and stuff like that. So I got promoted to quality. I only had 1 year of college background, so you don't really need that. Basically, Pfizer kind of moves you up in the ranks based on your ability rather than your credential. The only time that your credential comes into play is if it's in the scientific side, so like mixing and making the drugs. And then even in supervision and management, they want a degree, but it can be in anything. So like you can have an art degree and be a supervisor out there, or you can work in the plant for 10 years and qualify for supervisor, which I had planned on doing because I was coming up on my 10 years. But, you know, God had other plans, which led me to Project Veritas. And when I was working there and I saw the glowing vials and I found those emails in the database and among other documents, I tried to do anything I can to warn people. I talked to coworkers I could trust. I talked to friends. I took a mental health leave of absence because I was so shook up from some of the stuff there. My friends, I would call them conspiracy theorists. They're you know, on the right side of truth. They actually knew what was going on and I didn't, but they referred me to Project Veritas, and their Telegram channel is actually what they referred me to. And I thought it was a bunch of dudes in their basement. I didn't really think anything of it, but I reached out to every other media outlet you can think of, and I didn't get a response back.
You did?
I didn't get a response from
anybody.
No,
I know, but you reached out to the news networks.
Everybody. I don't think there's any mainstream that you could mention that I didn't reach out to. And I didn't get anything back. And honestly, I don't think they even read them. So maybe they didn't even like intentionally ignore me, but they just never even opened it, I guess. And my friends were like, here, go to Project Veritas. And without even looking who they were, I sent it thinking I'm not going to hear anything back from them either. And I did, but it was kind of a dead end. Like, they were like, oh, you work at Pfizer, what's your credentials? And I sent it to them and then they never responded. So I kind of lost hope a little bit. And then I guess Project Veritas sent out a new tips line email, like their tips email address.
Veritas tips at protonmail.com.
Yes, they sent that one out. And my friend sent that to me, said, here, try this one. And this time I looked into them. I went to YouTube, typed in Project Veritas, and their last video upload was your video. And it was, I think, the teaser for it, though. I don't think it was the actual video. Maybe it was. But it was, they asked, you know, you said that you fear God and not man, and that's why you came forward. And I was like, well, I feel that way. Why aren't I trying harder? Because even though I did all my, you know, media trying to email and all of that stuff, I wasn't really trying as hard as I felt I could. And so then I sent the email to Project Veritas at the tips email, and I gave my credentials. I gave everything right away, so that they knew I'm not some scammer, not somebody faking anything. And I heard back within 15 minutes. And they were obviously excited to receive my tip, my whistleblow, because it was during COVID when the mandates were rolling out of the vaccine. So
Right.
And that's what led me to Project Veritas. And I still thought it was dudes in their basement all up until the day before they flew me out for the interview.
So you're like, okay, this must be legit if they're flying me out.
Well, my husband was like, this is a scam, we're going to be kidnapped. And I'm like, I don't think so. He's like, have you looked him up? I'm like, no, I'm afraid to. And then we typed him in, and James had just interviewed with Candace Owens, who me and my husband listen to Daily Wire every day. So I was like, oh, he must be a big deal then. You know, that was basically because, you know, I read the Wikipedia that said he was a far right conservative activist or whatever, right. Which I've never been political. I mean, obviously I have common sense. which candidates are better than others, but I'm not like I have to be Republican, I have to be this or that. And so the whole far right thing didn't bug me, I guess. And if anybody who knows James, like you and I do, we know he's not far right.
Right. So yeah, not at all. Not at all. So that's cool. Like you just took a leap of faith because you felt like you needed to get the story out. And what you did expose were the vials that were glowing. And I know some, what people would call fringe extremist far right people were reporting that these vials were glowing, and it's that luciferase chemical or whatever it is that, you know, just seems so ironic, right? Luciferase and then a glowing vial.
You couldn't make this stuff up. Cause like it was a slow wake up for me. I didn't think there was anything sinister about Pfizer. I didn't think that the whole world would be in on a scam. You know, I didn't think that. But then like I'd hear a conspiracy theory and I'd laugh like, huh, that's just crazy. Like the luciferase. Well, then because I'm a researcher, I Googled it, read what it was. And I was like, well, we're getting ready to produce it here in the plant literally in a couple of weeks. I was like, so I'll see if there's anything fishy with it. And before it even was in the plant, I emailed communications and asked them, is luciferase contained in the file vaccine product being administered to people? No, luciferase was contained in the testing of the vaccine, but not in the emergency use authorized vaccine that's being administered. And so I was just kind of like, okay, why would they lie? They would be in a lot of trouble if they lied. And sure enough, I was one of the first auditors to go down there and look at the product, and it was glowing. And I'm like, okay, if there's no luciferase, what's causing this glowing? So I went up, emailed them again. What's causing, I framed it up from a quality standpoint, because I said, I'm observing this glow. I'm not finding any documentation that says that this is okay. People on the line are asking me questions if this is okay. And I would like to know the answer as to why these are glowing so that I can give an answer to the people. We aren't aware of any glowing. What are you talking about? Do you have pictures? That was their response. And so I'm like, so hold on. You guys are the ones telling me there's, you know, nothing going on, but you don't even know. I mean, you don't even know what this product looks like. It's pretty obvious. You can't miss it. So it's just kind of that's what made me first doubt my company was that. So,
yeah, I mean, because you're in North Dakota.
No, Kansas.
Kansas, a small town where Pfizer is, right?
Yes, very small. Yeah.
Very small. So when you live in a small town and you're young, you're in your 20s. You're a young woman and a new
mom. I was hired at 19, got fired at 29. I just turned 30 in September.
Oh, happy 30th. And a new mom. So congratulations on that. But right. So 19 years old, you're working with this, you know, largest pharmaceutical company in the world. And that's a good job to be in.
Oh, it was. I actually quit going to college because I was like, I'll just do this. It's easy. You can move up. You can make in 6 figures a year. Like, if I did want to go back to school, Pfizer would pay for it. So, you know, like I was all in. I was fully planning on retiring there. So
Yeah, I know how you feel on that. I mean, with me and my federal job, I was like, I'm at the pinnacle of my career. You know, I'm helping people, I'm making, you know, great money, have all the benefits in the world. And 6 figures in a small town, Kansas, is like, you're a millionaire.
Kansas is a very low cost of living. And so like, for example, I was making $22 an hour. Some people hear that and they're like, oh, that's nothing. And I'm like, in Kansas it is. Yeah. I'm like, in Kansas, that's pretty good money.
So, real good money. Yeah. So you step out on faith and you come out to Project Veritas. Tell me, Melissa, like, what are your thoughts on what's happening with the company as a whistleblower, right? And a critical thinker and a researcher. Right? You're a smart woman. So what are your thoughts on that?
When I first heard it, my first thought was, he needs a break. Mm-hmm. That was my first thought. I thought that this was probably just totally voluntary of James. because you and I have seen how hard he works. And I honestly, truly to God, don't think the man sleeps more than maybe 2 hours a night. Like, I don't know how he could and do all the things he does. I mean, he'll be in one state one day and a totally different one the next. You know, he goes all over the place. He's constantly doing multiple interviews a day. I can't imagine how much his phone has been blowing up this last. I mean, it was blown up before, but I'm sure it's blowing up sevenfold now. So, yeah. And then then I started to like see, you know, they were releasing more and it seemed more of a board issue and like internal conflict. And I'm like, they've been bought. That's my main thought now. And I could still totally be wrong. I'm just going off of James pointed out in his own address to the staff that what's changed. He's been the same James for the whole time. The board members known who he was. The people who wanted to be a part of the mission knew who he was. So what's changed? And for me, that's that he's gone after Pfizer, not once with me, but twice with this new release that has drawn a lot of attention and so much attention, in fact, that Pfizer had to answer, which if they wouldn't have censored my video, I think they would have had to answer that one as well. Mm-hmm. But thanks to Twitter under new ownership now, that couldn't really be done with this. And so now I'm kind of thinking they've either board members have been paid and employees, you know, even if they haven't been paid, they could maybe have beef with James and they think, James doesn't do anything. We're out here doing the work and James doesn't do anything, you know, but really James kind of laid the whole foundation for the whole thing to exist and is still building on it. So I definitely think it's not cut and dry. It's not like James did something wrong and they want him gone. And I don't think it's just James needs a break and wants gone. I think there's a lot of moving parts and I do think it's not right. James is the face of the company. I mean, how many people talk about Steve Jobs getting fired from Apple? I mean, when you love a band and they change the lead singer, is it even the same band? That's how I picture it. Mm-hmm. Like when your favorite band's lead singer and they change, like they either quit singing totally or they go to a different band or whatever it is it even the same band? Not really. Even if they replace them with someone close, it's not the same band.
Right.
So that's how I feel with Project Veritas is I whistle blew because I trusted the man I saw on the screen who interviewed with Candace Owens the day before I flew to New York. I trusted the way he seemed to speak. I trusted something about him made me think I could be safe with this person talking to him, you know, and I whistle blew to James, trusting James. Now, while in this process, I also trusted my journalist who also worked very hard to help get the exposure on this story and everything. And so the people I met, including up to the day of when I got the interview and I was speaking with the people who do the editing and the crew, they were all so incredibly kind to me. And I never felt coached. Nobody coached me. They would ask me kind of like pop quiz questions to see if I actually knew what I was talking about. And of course, you know, I did because I actually worked there. It's surprisingly not hard to be prove who you are when you are who you say you are.
Yeah, so. Right. Exactly. You don't have to worry about it.
Yes. And yeah, so I definitely, I'll follow James wherever he goes. To me, wherever James is that's Project Veritas. Now let's just say on a totally optimistic side, what I'm hoping for out of all of this, if it's not just James back where he was and we forget this whole thing happened, is that now we have two media sources digging for truth and not just one. Because like the best case scenario that this could happen is, let's say Project Veritas stays Project Veritas, but without James, there are still a lot of people in that organization who want truth and are willing to do whatever it takes to expose it. Now, James, I sure hope he means it when he says he's not done and he's still going to continue. And if he starts another kingdom from the ground up, that it'll just be another truth-seeking organization. So then we'll have two. That's my absolute optimistic hope. That would be the best case scenario out of this. Worst case scenario is they both sink. And the reason I think that James even had a possibility of sinking is if they slander and malign his character so much, how people who are donors or want to support that mission or how they're going to feel.
Yeah.
For both, for James and Project Veritas. Because me personally, if I, let's say I never whistle blew and I was sitting in my chair watching all this happen and I didn't know any of this, I would say that company has been infiltrated, or, you know, like,
yep.
You can't trust Project Veritas anymore is what I would think as a person who, if I had never dealt with the organization or dealt with any of it, I wouldn't listen to it anymore. I'd unfollow it. I wouldn't even care anymore. I'm like, oh, that's over. Next thing. So.
Yeah, no, I think the same. You know, people don't realize, you know, the wanting to pick a side. Right. Mm-hmm. And for us being like in the with this whistleblower family with PV, we are going to pick James's side, like right off the bat. You know, really, I mean, we have very limited information, but he is the one that we trusted. And just like with any family, you know, your kid gets in trouble, your mom gets in trouble, you're going to side with your mom or your kid until proven otherwise, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's where a lot of us stand, where it's the majority of us whistleblowers. I mean, I don't know of anyone that doesn't take the side of James, knowing all his faults, you know?
Exactly. I mean, let's see, what the board is accusing him of using money for things that they didn't ordain, I guess. Like, they, like, let's say he bought more expensive Ubers. Good. I hope he got the blacked out windows and more secure vehicles so that someone couldn't just see him driving by and want to attack the car, ram the car, that, you know, if he were to leave in an urgency, someone couldn't just follow him knowing he's in that vehicle. Who cares about the Uber? The expensive, you and me went to the Project Veritas experience in Miami last year, last January in 2022. And that was, the way I see it is, you got it. I don't know if they actually lost $60,000. Like, literally, they don't know where it went, or they felt it wasn't appropriate, maybe, if that's mm-hmm. what they mean by lost. That was, like, in my opinion, a big party to throw for donors to give them something. Because what do people want? People want to feel a part of a movement, right? They want to feel a part of an organization or a group. So to give people the opportunity to not only meet James O'Keefe, but to meet the whistleblowers who have maybe helped their families. Like, for example, people have thanked me simply for their religious exemptions were approved after my whistleblow, because right. they mm-hmm. submitted my whistleblower. Like, for you, people were able to prove that they were not reporting adverse reactions. So, like, that's big to some people. Like, people care yeah. about that, and that will bring in more money from donors, and it gives them more credibility that we're real people. Because in this world that we live in right now, where it's this world stage where you don't know who's real, who's not, who to trust, who not to, if someone can meet us face to face and have a cocktail with us while eating nachos, they're more likely to say, hey, there's some hope here, that the whole world isn't just bought and corrupt, and that there are some real people who genuinely care about this. And I think that if the board is going to nitpick over all that, I think James should spend more money on things like events for getting people out there, giving people the opportunity. Because, for example, we got lucky. Our whistleblows were not only viewed and responded to, but some people out there can't get that.
Right.
Whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And so maybe these events also give a chance for a new whistleblower with even bigger information on things. You know, like, you never know.
Well, and all, yeah, exactly. It's a movement that they were starting to really pick up momentum on for, you know, the last year and a half, 2 years. And I know that James really wanted to expand the whistleblower part of Project Veritas. And I hope that he still does. I agree with you. I hope the best case scenario is PV figure out their issues, you know, and they move on, because, you know, we have about 60 journalists or 60 people, employees of PV, that are sitting here right now wondering if they're going to have a paycheck. You know what I mean? That's a lot of families affected. And I know that.
And where are they going to go? Because who could really compare to Project Veritas right now when it comes to the media?
That's right. That's right. So
nobody's going to want to hire someone who works for Project Veritas.
Yeah. And I do. I agree with you. It's like, we are at a point in time where we need more whistleblowers to come forward. And now, whatever was happening within that board, you know, the employee grievances and stuff, you know, first it comes out like that. And then they say he's going to take a 2-week vacation. But then James comes out and says, no, it wasn't a 2-week vacation. They told me to go away. They told me to go away.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my gosh. So are there egos on that board that think that they can, BV will still be standing without James, especially having James leave in that manner?
Oh yeah. Yeah, there could be some ego problems, which I'm not 100% sure, but when I did my interview, I'm pretty sure members of the board were there for my interview. And I remember when, you know, I was kind of on autopilot, you know, in the Holy Spirit, you know, you're not supposed to plan what to say. You're supposed to let the Holy Spirit guide. And so that's what I do. I pray. And then I did the interview, but one, so things are kind of on autopilot. Like, I don't necessarily remember everything I said. But I do remember one moment when I said something to James. And I don't think it's in the interview on camera, but I have a picture of it. Somebody took a picture of it perfectly. He laughs, looks at the camera or the board by the cameras and goes, are we really doing this? Are we really going after Pfizer? He goes, there's no going back after we do this. And everybody was like, yeah. So everybody in that room was like, yes, we're going after Pfizer. Yes, we're doing that. And I just remember thinking, someone believes me. Because I'm sure you know what it's like to be telling your loved ones, your friends, yeah, everyone around you, warning them, hey, I'm seeing some real sketchy stuff. I took pictures. The pictures I've been releasing are the pictures I took to show my family. Mm-hmm. Please do not get this. Please do not get this. And what did they do? They all went and got it. And yeah, so it's just to sit there and someone laugh and go, oh my gosh, this is the real deal. We're actually exposing that Pfizer is wanting to hide things from the public, to not give informed consent, mm-hmm, so that people cannot get religious exemptions. Yeah. Like, it's, he was just so taken back. And to me, that showed how real he was. And then he talked to me afterwards. I felt, you know, before coming to Christ and everything, I used to see celebrities and be like, ooh, you know, I wish I could meet Candace Owens. I wish I could, you know, meet Ben Shapiro, Michael Knowles, I wish I could meet these people and all of this. And you think that you would, like, oh, I would pass out if I met so-and-so. But once you come to Christ and you realize everyone is just a person and the only true famous person is Yeshua, Messiah.
Amen.
It's almost like, to me, it was like I was meeting up with a friend to take down the bad guys.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it didn't feel like I'm meeting up with someone who's important or a celebrity or someone I admire, you know, whatever it is. I'm meeting up with a friend to take down some bad guys, and I hope that people believe me. It was basically
right,
but I didn't. They made me feel super comfortable.
Yeah, because it's a big deal. I know what you mean. It's like all of a sudden you're this truth that you've known for so long. I mean, for me, you know, it started out in March of 2020 when all the truth just started being revealed to me in such a manner of great discernment. And then to find that I was right. You know, the facts that just kept coming out.
It's almost like you feel like you're lying, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it almost feels like it's like, okay, the vials are glowing, but were they? I need to look again tomorrow. Okay, they're glowing. They're glowing. They are actually glowing. And like, yeah, I would do things to try to disprove myself, like, yeah, to prove myself wrong, like asking them, why does this glow? It's almost like when you catch a partner cheating and you're like, who's this girl? And they're like, what girl?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I went through your phone, and they're like, what phone? Right. It's like, you know, they're hiding something. And it's just like what they did to me. Like, I was giving them so many chances. I didn't want to admit that I was working for this evil corporation. So I'm trying to give them every chance I could to make me feel like, to prove me wrong and crazy. But all they did was kept adding to my fire, kept sending me further down that rabbit hole. And
yeah,
ultimately, it ended up me whistleblowing on them because they can't even be honest with their own employees.
Well, so. Right. And it's like the same for me where I'm like, okay, you know what? When I first recorded the pharmacist, I recorded the pharmacist because I needed to make sure that what I was hearing was the truth. and not my own bias, right? So I
I remember you saying, so they're not reporting. And she's like, no, they're not reporting. And it's like those moments where you're like, okay, so this is happening, right?
Right.
Like, I did that all off camera. I didn't record. I didn't think about it. I get recording people. And I didn't think, I wish I had. That's my one regret, is I wish when Project Veritas told me you should go back and record your coworkers, because, oh man, if they would have let me record when the FDA was there, we could have done so much more damage.
I
text messages aren't good enough, unfortunately, for some reason, like my supervisor texting us to go hide for a couple hours while the FDA is there. We're lining down these lines. The FDA is coming. We are not even supposed to know when they are coming.
Right.
So they notify us. It's just like
when Jayco would come to the hospital.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, yes. All the corruption. Well, Melissa, let me give you the last minute to say anything that you would like to say.
Well, I'd like to tell people, don't give up hope. Even if James does walk away from Project Veritas, let's say Project Veritas is burned to the ground, that doesn't mean that there aren't still people out there trying to do the same thing. Doesn't mean that James will fall off and never be heard from again. At the very least, there's us whistleblowers who hopefully are giving other people the courage to step up and do something. Because just because an organization goes down, don't give up hope. I know a lot of people lost hope when Biden won. I know a lot of people lost hope when their governor didn't win. You know, things like that. Like, don't put your faith in men or systems or government. Put your faith in God and let his will be done, and repent, because he's waiting on his people to repent. Keep that in mind. If my people who are called by my name turn and repent, I will heal their land. Okay. That's what we need to do. And I think, unfortunately, instead of repenting, we're arguing with each other. So I think that's like my last message, is to repent and have hope and turn to God.
So. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that one. You know, that's why I wrote my book, Rare Courage, because at the end of the day, it's choosing the faith over the fear. And because so many people bow down to the altar of the government, they were not able to critically think through these situations. But that's all the time we have for today, friends. Remember, we are here on air 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern and 11 p.m. Eastern, with a different nurse host daily. Please be sure to tune in and listen to myself and my amazing sister nurses as we walk you through all of these hot topics. We want to empower you with information and education. We will advocate and we will stand in the gap for you, because we are nurses and this is what we do. I'm your host, Nurse Jody O'Malley, and you can find me here every Friday morning. Be sure to make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We must all do our part and share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and videos, so we can help secure America's future. Until next time, be safe, be well, and God bless.
It's time and then